You got a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're concluding our series today through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, we'll be in verses 24 through 29. Concluding our series today as Jesus is, here concludes his Sermon on the Mount, and he ends with, some talk about wisdom, if you will, man, what it looks like to walk in wisdom in these days. And so if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. And we'll read the six verses here. The verses will be on the screen. You can follow along if you don't got a copy of God's Word. But this is what the Word of the Lord has to say. This is Jesus here talking, ending his Sermon on the Mount. So he says this: "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the wind blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. Won't we pray one more time together? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask that you'd speak to us through your word, Lord. God, teach us what it means to God, walk in wisdom in these days, Lord, as we see in your word. Help us to be like the wise men and women Jesus talks about here. I continue to meet with us this morning. Have your way, and we'll give you the glory for it all. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Well, Sister Morgan, this past week I stumbled upon an old TV series that was aired on Animal Planet called Fatal Attractions. Fatal Attractions. Don't know if you heard about it before, but this TV series that chronicled, it was several episodes that chronicled folks that wanted to basically domesticate wild animals, right, and make them into pets in their home. And I got interested, so, took a look at it, read some about it, and basically it was stories about these folks that thought that, hey, it was a good idea for them to bring in a leopard right from the wild to take care of. Hey, it was a good idea to bring in a venomous snake that was supposed to be in the wild, right, and take care of it. Good idea to house a chimpanzee, right, and take care of it. Well, the stories share how, several of those folks ended up, man, losing limbs, losing, legs, right, and a few of them ended up losing their life. Because even though, right, they thought that they had domesticated these animals, something ticked them off. And they ended up responding in a negative way. And you know what I thought of, right? Whenever, I saw that and, I felt bad for the families that were involved. But I thought, man, how foolish, Sister Janetta. It couldn't be me. Hey, I struggle to view a snake, right, that's on the other side of a glass, at the zoo or the aquarium. Better yet, have one at my house. Right, it couldn't be me housing an animal from the wild and domesticated. Man, I struggled, man, growing up with the dog that I thought was wild. Man, jump all over me, scratch me and stuff at our house. I struggled with that. I remember thinking, man, hey, those folks were foolish. They made the wrong decisions. Hey, they were not wise. We see here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus here, man, chronicle, right, folks that ought to be wise, if you will, right, by using an illustration. And then he talks about people that are unwise, right, and how you could easily walk in both wisdom and, even though this may not be a word, unwisdom,
or
not walk in wisdom. He makes it clear here by using the illustration of, right, building a house. Now, Jesus, in his context, he is speaking to people, and they would know exactly what he was talking about there. In the Palestinian desert there, right, folks would, if you were wise, man, you would build a house, erect a house, man, you'd find a place that, man, had a sturdy foundation, had a rock there, and you'd build your house there. Because they knew, man, storms would come, sometimes suddenly. And if you had your house on a secure foundation, you would be good. But then you had the folks, man, that were just a good about trying to get something built and finished real quick. Yeah, it sounds like Clarksville, doesn't it? Man, just getting the house up as quick as you can and rolling. You had folks, man, that would just build a house on the little sand there area. It looked secure sometimes because surface level, right, it was hard, right? But obviously there wasn't a real foundation there. They'd build the house and, man, the storms would come and destroy that house. Jesus says, hey, he likens, man, following him in obedience to, man, building the house on the rock. And that's the call for us today, to walk in wisdom, man, by clinging close to him and listening to what he says. This morning, I just want to highlight two truths here from the text and ways that we're able to walk in wisdom in these days. We all need to be reminded of this. If you've been saved a while, man, you might have read this passage, know it by heart, but it's so easy to veer off, right, the path of wisdom. And hey, do your own thing. Be wise in your own eyes. Man, our heart's proclivity is, man, to live that way. Hey, we're wise in our own eyes. We're educated, smart, know all these things, so we're just going to follow our own way. Jesus, man, here, right, serves and gives us a reminder, man, on the ways we ought to walk in wisdom, and I hope we cling to them. The first way we see here talked about in the text is, man, we walk in wisdom by first and foremost learning how to prepare for the storms. Jesus here gives this illustration about, hey, man, making sure you build your house on the rock, man, so that when storms come, right, hey, you've got a secure foundation. Your house won't get blown away. Yes, he's using an illustration, but can I go ahead and tell you, right, hey, it'll preach. The reality is, hey, the storms, right, of life, quote unquote, are going to come. It's not if, but when. And the call for us, man, is to be people, right, that choose, man, to make sure that we're prepared for them. I think back, you know, just a few weeks ago, right, to our wedding, you know, my wedding with my wife there in Central Louisiana, man. We know Louisiana weather. If you've been to Louisiana any length of time, you understand, first and foremost, at this point in time, just be honest, it's hot as Hades down there. It's hot. But you also know that, man, hey, storms literally can come and pop up at any given moment. The day of the wedding, clear skies, not a cloud in the sky, Sister Arlene. Hey, we're pumped up, ready to go. We got there super early to move stuff. I'm thinking, man, this is going to be beautiful, man. We put in all this work. We're excited, pumped up about it. And then literally, not even kidding you, 15 minutes, Brother Ross, before the ceremony starts, it gets overcast and cloudy, and it starts to dump. And we're thinking, you know, honestly, can I just be transparent with you? I'm thinking, first thing, man, we put in all that manpower between the Grusel and I, man, to get this, you know, backyard ready, and it's going to end up being washed away. Because I know that's selfish, not, but that's the first thing I thought of. But then, secondly, I thought of, hey, listen, man, we understood, right, that, man, a storm can pop up at any moment, so, hello, we were prepared. I'm thankful for my father-in-law that had the wherewithal to buy some tents for us to be able to set out for folks, right, to sit under just in case it did rain. So we were able to make some makeshift plans, move some stuff around, and bless God, even in the rain, we were still able to have a wedding. Hey, because we were prepared. Prepared. Don't miss the picture. In the same way, that's what Jesus is saying. When it comes to our life, hey, the storms are going to come. Hey, loss is going to come. Hey, sickness is going to come. Pain is going to come. The storms of life, right? Your disappointment is going to come. So the storms of life are going to come. But the good news is, hey, bless God, we can be prepared in Him. You say, Pastor Irv, how do you get prepared? Jesus talks about it here. Hey, we prepare for the storm by choosing to place our feet on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. He's also known as the Rock of Ages in the Scripture, Jesus Christ. Hey, we prepare for the storm by choosing to trust in Him, like we just sang. Man, and choose to lean on Him. Those, man, that don't. That have their hope, man, secured in a situation. Have their hope secured in a plan. Man, when the storm comes and disrupts that plan. Man, we see that there is massive struggle after that. I'm not saying that, hey, those of us who, man, have our feet secure on Christ. I'm not saying that when the storm does come, man, and knocks us down, that there ain't going to be any kind of pain there. There ain't going to be any kind of struggle that's there. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, hey, in the midst of the grieving, we can look up to the one we know, man, that can help us. Lift our eyes to the hills, knowing where our help comes from. Psalm 121. We can look up to Him. Listen, we've got to choose to prepare for the storm, because the reality is the storms are going to come. Scripture tells us that. John 16:33. Jesus Himself says it. Hey, I've told you these things. Man, Him sharing right in context here. He's talking about a helper coming, i.e. the Holy Spirit. Right? If we're saved here, we got the Holy Spirit, man. He lives inside us. He's with us, our paraclete, the one who literally walks alongside us through life. He says this here, I've told you these things. I share these things with you so that you may have peace in me. You will have suffering in this world. But rather be courageous, because I have conquered the world. Man, hey, suffering's going to come, like it says here, but be courageous, because He has conquered the world. Then James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. James, right, the apostle of the Lord, man, he shares this. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Nothing. Hey, the storms are going to come. It's been said, right? You're either, man, just exiting out of a storm, right? Or getting ready to enter into one. It's the reality. But hey, the good news is, hey, we can make sure we're prepared in Him. Are you prepared, man? Where are your feet today? And are your feet on the Rock of Ages? And are they on shifting sand, i.e., right, circumstance, a plan? Man, choose to put your feet on the Rock of Ages. Man, prepare for the storm. It's the first truth that we see here, man. That's how we walk in wisdom in these days. Man, prepare for the storm. Then second truth that we see here in the text on how we walk in wisdom is, man, choosing to be people that choose obedience over obstinance. Go back to the text. Look what Jesus says here. Everyone who hears these words of mine, right? Jesus here in context is speaking to what He has shared already through the Sermon on the Mount, but also, man, it can speak to the all-encompassing, man, word of the Lord in our context. Man, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the wind blew and pounded the house. Yet it did not collapse, because the foundation was on the rock. But the person who hears these words and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man and who built his house on the sand. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying this. Hey, many people hear the truth. Many people read the truth, but it's more than just that. Hey, the wise person is the one that acts on what he hears and what he has read. The wise person is the one, man, hey, that chooses to walk in obedience to the Lord, not just hears Him. Or, right, is not the person that just, man, hears what he wants to hear or what she wants to hear and obeys what he or she wants to obey, man, but walks in complete obedience to Him. Surrender to Him. Jesus, man, here says, man, that the call for us is to choose obedience over obstinance. You know what obstinance means, doesn't it? hard-headedness, thick-headedness, right? So, hey, so easy as a believer, man, hey, to fall victim to that. Have a hard head. As I know, growing up as a kid, I had a real hard head, right? But the old colloquialism, hey, it changed me real fast, right? A hard head makes for a soft behind. And, hey, I got wore out. And my head got soft real quick. Boy, Jesus here is saying, hey, we've got to choose, man, to walk in obedience to him. Man, let's look at, man, what that looks like. Obedience. Obedience, first subpoint here. Walking in the Lord and following him in obedience, right? It ultimately brings about security in the midst of the storms. Brings about security, man. Hey, we're following him and his will for our life, man. We're secure there. You probably heard it said like this before, right? The safest place, right, to be is in the will of God, following him in obedience. Doesn't mean, man, that actual place, man, that actual place may not be safe. Right? But the reality is, hey, you're secure in him. So whatever happens in that place that you're following him in, it's all right. Because, hey, you're following him. Following him. Man, that's what obedience looks like. Man, there's peace. There's covering and protection there. There's the ability to stand when the winds and the waves come. And so what this looks like is, hey, fathers, man, hey, choose to walk in the Lord's will to lead your family in these days. Man, to raise your kids and to walk in him. Church of God, hey, choose, man, to follow the Lord in obedience to his word, but also, man, as his spirit leads you, where he leads you in life. Don't just pick and choose, man, what you want to do. Right, hey, choose to follow him. What he said. As what James talks about, hey, listen, don't just be hearers of his word, but doers of it at the end of the day. Man, hey, man, that's walking in wisdom, being doers of his word, walking in obedience. And I know, hey, whenever we hear about obedience, some folks, man, like to say, oh, Pastor Irv, you're just preaching legalism. What about grace? We're not perfect anyways. Yeah, that's true. But hey, I'm not talking about legalism, man. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love. Hey, if we love, man, the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, hey, we're going to look to follow him in obedience. Man, we're going to look to honor him. We don't, man, live to obey him and to earn his love and grace. No, we've already got that. But it's out of the love and grace, man, that we've received that we look to, man, live in obedience to him, follow him in his will. So child of God that's currently doing that, hey, continue. Man, continue walking with him. Even though it's difficult, continue to walk in him. And child of God, man, that's straying. Hey, man, choose to return to him. Luke 6:46 says it like this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? And John 14:15 says it like this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Man, so choose obedience today. Man, choose to be that wise builder, man, that acts on, man, the words that the Lord Jesus has said to us, man. Again, I'm not talking about perfection here, but I'm talking about this new direction as we're walking in him. Man, choose to follow him. We see obedience here, but then B, we see obstinance. What Jesus says in that later part there. In verse 27, the rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house. And it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. Like I said earlier, man, the Jewish people of the day, they would know what's going on here. They would see what the illustration was about. Like I mentioned earlier, right? So, the foolish builder would be that one that would choose to build on the sand. You know, holy conjecture here, but maybe, man, hey, it's because of a thick-headedness. Hey, listen, we got to get this house fast. Hey, you know, the market may be booming here soon in the Palestinian desert, so we got to get this house fast, man, so that, hey, it can get rented out or sold real quick. And as a result, they choose to act in foolishness. Hey, not listening to what someone else might have told them, and they look to build that house on the sand, man. It ends up becoming an issue. And in the same way, man, that's what it looks like in our life. as if we walk in obstinance. I know in this room, I'm talking to two different types of people, talking to lost people and saved people. First and foremost, person that's lost, that doesn't know Christ, reality is, hey, you're walking in obstinance to him, right? Because you don't know him. Can't follow who you don't know, right? And the reality is, hey, your life is headed for a crash. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Man, we could look all throughout Scripture and see it. Man, one story I thought of in particular was the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember him? In the book of Daniel. Man, we focus on Daniel and the lion's den, Daniel and the three Hebrew Israelites. But King Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon, man. The man. Daniel 3, it says that, man, he built this super tall statue to himself. Man, everybody worshipped him, revered him. Babylon, man, was, hey, the most powerful empire of that time. And we see him there, man, hey, obstinate against God. Hey, I'm God. I'm the one that needs to be worshipped. We see Daniel and the three boys, man, the Lord, man, get them out of that fiery furnace. We celebrate that, but we don't know what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. If you look at Daniel chapter 4, it talks about that a little bit. Hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, he headed for a crash. He ended up getting humbled. It said that, man, he ended up losing his kingdom, and he was out in the fields, man, grazing like he was cattle, eating grass like he was cattle, until he came to his senses and got right with the Lord. I want to read that little passage to you. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 through 37, the end of his time when the Lord, man, got a hold of him after his crash, man, for walking in obstinance. Look what it says. But at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned to me. Man, he was insane, man. Yeah, right. Then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does what he wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of earth. There is no one who can block his hand or say to him, what have you done? Then in verse 36, at that time, my sanity returned to me and my majesty and splendor returned to me and for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and my nobles sought me out and I was reestablished over my kingdom and even more greatness came to me. In verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and glorify the King of heavens because all his works are true and his ways are just. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. Hey, I believe, man, hey, King, I'll call him King Nebi. Hey, he got saved. King Nebi got right with the Lord, man. Got saved. And we see how the Lord, man, hey, ministered to him and restored him. And so you say, Pastor, why do you read that? Why do you talk about that point? Hey, I talk about it to say this. Hey, if you don't know Christ today, listen. Hey, choose to run to him. Quit running in your obstinate ways. Choose to run to him. And man, you, man, can be restored. Not just talking about the lost person, talking about the saved person in here as well. Maybe you're in here, man, and you're saved, been saved a while, been living for the Lord, and then you found yourself in a season of kind of wandering, if you would, because maybe he didn't answer a prayer that you wanted answered. Maybe, hey, it's because he's calling you deeper to something and you don't want to do it. Man, whatever the reason is, man, hey, you can find yourself being in a place of obstinance. And the reality is, as Jesus said here, hey, even though you're saved, you can find yourself headed to a crash too. Say, Pastor Irv, how do you know that? Man, let me give you another example. You know about one of King David's sons, don't you? King Solomon, right? Wisest man that ever lived. Richest man to ever live. Hey, but he had a little problem. 1 Kings 11 talks about it. Starting in verse 1 says this, King Solomon, man, he loved many foreign women. In addition to Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittite women from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them and they must not intermarry with you because they will turn your heart away to follow their gods. To these women, Solomon was deeply attached. And it talks about verse 3, man, he had, man, over 700 wives, 300 concubines, man, he had all these women. Hey, the Lord told him, hey, Brother Dwayne, hey, the Lord told him, hey, not supposed to intermarry with these folks, man, because they're going to turn you away from the Lord. But Solomon, man, he was the wisest guy ever. Man, that ain't going to happen to me. That's not gonna work with me. Oh, let's look and see what happens. Verse 4, look what it said. When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away to follow other gods. He was not wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his God as his father David had been. And Solomon followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the abhorrent idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight, and unlike his father David, he did not remain loyal to the Lord. You can read further on, look into chapter 12. His son Rehoboam, right, takes over as the king of Israel. It's known as Rehoboam's folly. He doesn't listen to, man, the wise leaders who knew the Lord. He listened to his buddies. Man, ended up, man, hey, just making decisions that weren't right, including the key one. And we see, right, that at the end of the day, that ended up splitting, dividing the kingdom of Israel. And you see multiple generations, right, of kings and the people of Israel, man, hey, worshiping other gods. I believe, right, that, hey, Solomon's step, misstep, if you will, man, hey, perhaps led to that. You say, Pastor, why are you reading that? Why are you talking about that? Hey, it's because Solomon, being the wisest person on earth, man, he chose to walk in obstinance, man, and he found himself crashing. So child of God in here, listen. Man, choose obedience over obstinance. What's the Lord leading, man, you to do today? Man, choose to follow him in it. Well, hey, what's the Lord calling you to give up? Man, choose to follow him in obedience. Walking in Jesus, obeying him is worth it at the end of the day. So choose to do so both now and forevermore because he is worth it. Choose obstinance over obedience. At the end of the text here, we see the crowd says that they were astonished or amazed, right? In awe, right? Another way to translate that, verses 28 and 29, because of the teaching of Jesus, one like the scribes, who they saw, man, they were good about talking the talk, but not walking the walk. They knew about the words, but they didn't act on them. Jesus taught with an authority, right, that he had because he was God in the flesh. And it got me thinking, I think when it comes to walking in wisdom and obedience, one of the leading reasons why we may struggle to do that as his people is because we find ourselves losing the wonder and amazement for who this God really is. We become too familiar with him. Easy to get that way. You become too familiar with him. You've known him for a while. You grew up in church. Dad was a deacon. You grew up, man, knowing the things about God, and you've seen him do great works in your life, and then you find yourself in a season, seems mundane, and you become too familiar with him. He's more of your homie than he is, man, God over the universe. And maybe the response in you and I walking, man, in wisdom, choosing to be folks that prepare for the storms, choosing to be people that choose obedience over obstinance. Maybe it begins with us asking the Lord, man, to return the wonder and amazement of who he is and what he's done in our life. Maybe that's where it starts. May we choose to never lose the wonder and amazement of who this God is and what he has done for us. May we choose to never lose the wonder.